blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, the third verse. Show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. The third stanza of Psalter 60.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in Ephesians 2. But before, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, are there not also among us those who desire peace to be preached unto them? For thou knowest the trembling that takes place in the hearts of those who do truly fear thy name and do not feel that access unto thee of which we have heard in these moments. But thou who hast suffered and endured for thy church that a punishment which they are not able to bear, and thou hast it to give unto each and every one of those who do come in the way of true repentance. Oh, that thou mayest remember them in thy mercy, and what great titles thou dost call thy church by, even fellow citizens with the saints. Oh Lord, is that really true? That we are fellow citizens with the saints of that same country that Abraham may inherit with all the saints of God. Oh, to be a fellow unto them, a citizen of thy country. Oh, then we feel, O Lord, as so often more as a stranger and as a foreigner, for thou knowest all that lives within our hearts, then there is nothing that is good and right before thee, and we deserve to be cut off and to be cast away from thee forever. Oh, that thou mayest give in the hearts of thy children, that thou mayest show unto them once again what thou hast bought for them with thy own blood, to draw them so close unto thee that they may be called a fellow citizen and even brought into the family of God, and to be called those of the household of God. O Lord, it is such a great wonder if we may receive the smallest part in that blessed household of whom thou art the Father and thy dear Son, the elder brother. O Lord, who can fathom such wonders and such blessings for those who are so undeserving. Oh, that thou mayest give unto us hearts of true humility, and wilt thou draw each and every one of us as a Ruth of old, and with those desires that she had towards an afflicted Naomi and towards her God, as so that she with all her heart and did leave her country and did follow after through all that would come before her. Oh, if she could only have thee for her God. Oh, that thou mayest give, and that in the heart of every one of us there may be such desires even of our children and our youth. And while they are still young, and Satan, he desires especially our youth, our young people, that he may take them for his account, and that he may keep them in that state of death wherein he has instigated the entire human race to come. Oh, that thou mayest be a robber of hell, Lord, even in this day, that thy word may be quick and powerful, that there may go forth thy spirit in this afternoon hour in the midst of us as a congregation, and that we would not be left to ourselves, because if it is but a few words of a man, then we are unable to convince a single person. But, O Lord, thou art the God of the heavens and of the earth, and thy arrows, they do strike deep into the hearts. O, we beseech thee then, Lord, it is thy holy day, and on thy holy day in a special way, and then our desires, they go out to thee to feel something of the power of thy most holy Spirit, that it may be evident in the midst of this, our flock. O, thy Spirit that does convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and thy Spirit that does reveal the wonders of thy dear and only begotten Son, to make it a wonder in the life of a man. Oh, could it be that in this afternoon hour, as such a light might shine from heaven, where thou art, And where that light is as clear as a crystal, even as the jasper stone. Oh, that it may shine then in the midst of thy church, that thy people may be enlightened, for their understanding is so darkened. And thou knowest how that they go over this world. And there are those that do not see the hope that thou hast laid up for thy people. And then it is necessary, O Lord, that thou would show it unto them. For we can read it in thy word, and we can preach it in thy church. But unless thou wilt open the eyes of our soul, they are closed and we cannot see. Oh, there are such blessed mysteries in thy precious book. Oh, that thou mayst open them to us, Lord. Hast thou not sent us unto this place? Could it please thee then to do as thou hast spoken, when thou hast said, I have put my words in thy mouth, and if thou wilt take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Oh, that we may yet be then a little mouthpiece, and that thou mayest yet speak through us, and use us then as a little tool in thy holy fingers. Oh, Lord, we are weak, but thou art strong, and we are ignorant, but thou art wisdom itself. And we are wretched and sinful, but thou art holy, and thy power, and that is infinite, to raise the dead and to feed those that have nothing to eat. Oh, that thou mayest remember the meek, that they might eat and be satisfied. Remember all the sick. Thou knowest where they are. Also in the midst of our own congregation, O Lord, that thou mayest heal, and that thou mayest deliver, and that thou mayest spare, and that thou thyself wouldst raise up, and that thou mayest keep each and every one of us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Teach us what it means to have a soul and to be traveling to a great and never-ending eternity, that we might tremble to meet thee, a just and a holy God, and that we might need thy dear Son to have blotted out our transgressions and our sins. Remember us then in this hour. Care for all those that are at their homes, in a special way, the children. Oh, that thou mayest give them, and that they may be able to sit a little while quietly and to listen, and that thou wouldst take their ears, Lord, and that thou wouldst take their hearts unto thyself. And wilt thou help us in thy house, in our homes, and wilt thou be present with thy Spirit among us, for Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant bless. The first two stanzas of Psalter 187. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the season that is so quickly going by of the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ in His incarnation, in His suffering, in His death, the work of His passion, and now in His resurrection from the dead. The meriting of salvation, and that is declared to each and every one of us every year again. Also, children, boys and girls, you are very used to that. You are accustomed to that, to hear every year again how the Lord Jesus is born and how that He has died and that He rose again. And your parents, they are able also to tell you the meaning of everything that the Lord Jesus has done. But now the question, was there anything of all this that has ever been applied unto our heart? Has it been as a nice story, the history, that which God has done, but has it ever had a place in our heart, within our affections, within the love of our heart? And has it ever been for our soul's benefit, for the true welfare of our soul? The resurrection of Christ is a very powerful thing. That is, that He went from dead unto living. Where can we find more power? It was so powerful that there are many persons that do not believe and that it even happened. That it is even possible. So powerful that is, that men do not believe it. They say that is not possible, and yet it happened. But now the fruits of the resurrection of Christ, they are also just as powerful. What do we read about His resurrection? We read that He is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. That means that He is the first one, but that there also will be many that will follow. And then we think about the last day, when all that are in the graves are going to hear His voice, and they are going to come forth from the graves. What a powerful work that this will be. So powerful that many do not believe it. They say that it is impossible. But the resurrection in the last day is not the only fruit. It is not the only consequence of the resurrection of Christ. No, there is more, because our text that speaks about another. That text we can find in the portion that was read to us, Ephesians 2, and thereof the verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So far the words of our text. Quickened together with Christ. First, the power of this quickening. We see that in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. The power of this quickening. Second, the cause of this quickening, we see that in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. The cause of this quickening. Third, the elevation of this quickening in verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The elevation of this quickening. Quickened together with Christ. First, the power. Second, the cause. And third, the elevation of this quickening. Thus, in the first place, the power, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened together. What does that mean? That means to be made alive. Then he speaks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, he says, quickened together. Thus, the Bible is very clear about the natural state of man, that it is a state of death. How? Because it speaks of this work as a quickening work. And quickening need, it means to be made alive. Thus, we don't, children, a person who is alive already does not need to be made alive. No, who needs to be made alive? That is a person who is dead. Thus, the object of the quickening act of God is a dead person. Only the dead can be quickened. But Paul speaks here about what kind of death that this is. He says it is not a temporal, but a spiritual death. Even, he says, when we were dead in sins. Thus, that is the state of man by nature. Dead, he says, in sins. What does that mean, then, to be dead in sins? And then Paul describes what that means here in a number of verses. He says, wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Thus, he describes what it means to be dead in sins. That spiritual death. He says that means that a person is walking according to the course of this world. Maybe you have seen that sometimes, children. Then there is a little poster someone has drawn of the broad way and of the narrow way. Then you can see what is then included in that broad way. And that is the whole world. It is all open for those who are traveling on that broad way. And thus, the apostle speaks here about a person walking according to the course that this whole world is walking. That is, walking in the same principles, according to the same thoughts and beliefs of this world. And what do we read in God's word of this world? that a man is without God in the world? Are we also without God in the world? And do we walk in this world just as if there is no God, even as men walk in this world according to the course of this world? According to the prince, he says, of the power of the air. Who is that? In the Bible, we read that Satan is called the prince of this world. That is, Satan is the ruler of this world. You say, God is the ruler of the world. That is true. And yet, the Lord, by permission, has allowed Satan to rule in the hearts of men. And that the fall should take place and that man should make a choice for Satan. And that he should be our prince. That is, congregation, a judgment. It is a judgment when the Lord allows a man to go on in this world. It is a judgment for what has been done by our first parents when they have chosen Satan above the Lord. Say, our first parents have done that, young people. I have not. Is that so, that you have not done that? How do you live in this world? Do you choose the Lord above the devil? Do you choose the Lord above the world? Do you choose the Lord above sin? Oh, how just the Lord is to let us go. Just to go our own way. That we would walk according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is that? A child of disobedience. It does not say a disobedient child. There are many disobedient children. The Lord also has many disobedient children. When we think of Samson and David and Solomon and so on, many of God's people, the children of God, disobedient. But that is not what it says here. It says the children of disobedience. What is that then? Child is the offspring, and it is now the offspring of disobedience. When disobedience is breeding, as it were, then disobedience is the very existence of this people. Children of disobedience, there is no true obedience. And a person who is unregenerated, that is actually a contradiction, because unregenerated means disobedient, doesn't it? Because what does the apostle say? He says that without faith, then none of our works are pleasing unto the Lord. Thus, faith, regeneration, that is necessary for there to be true obedience. There is not a single precept in the whole law of God that is kept by a child of disobedience. Whatsoever is not of faith, that the Apostle Paul says, is sin. Before he was converted, Paul says, I was a child of disobedience. Yes, even as I walked in my religion, even as I walked with a Pharisaical heart, even as I did all the duties of my religion, still he says, I was at that time a child of disobedience. According to the Spirit, he says, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What did our fathers hear from the devil? That was disobey. And that is what they did. And Satan continues in children of disobedience. And then it is all the same to him. Whether they are walking as a Manasseh, as they are walking as a wicked person, or that they are walking in Pharisaical hypocrisy in the religion of the church. Yet a man, he is a child of disobedience, that Paul says, dead in sins. What is that? He continues, he says, among whom we all had our conversation in times past. We all. What does that mean? Paul speaks about two sorts of persons when he speaks to the Ephesians. Then he speaks about the Jews, and he speaks about the Gentiles. There was a great separation between the Jews and the Gentiles in the Old Testament church. Then the word of God has come to the Jewish people. The Lord, he has separated the Jewish people as his own people. That was his own nation. They were the Jews. They were the Gentiles. They were the saved. They were the lost. They were God's children. They were the children of this world. Paul says what? He says, dead in sins, among whom we all had our conversation in times past. Yes, he says, those actually were the privileged, and those did not have those same privileges, but actually we all had the same conversation. He says, actually, and they were all cut from the same cloth. Both Jews and Gentiles were children of disobedience. Myself included, he says, touching the righteousness of the law, a Pharisee, blameless, good deeds, bad heart, self-deceived. In the lust of our flesh, he says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And he speaks about the flesh, not the same as he speaks about the flesh elsewhere. The flesh over against the spirit, but here he speaks about the flesh in a wider sense. He speaks about the entire man, the inward, the outward principles, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Here the word mind actually is speaking about the affections. What are your affections? What is the love of our heart? That is what is affecting our choices. Thus, you say, where do my affections lie? Well, look where our choices lie. Where do our choices, where did they lay this past week? What were the things that we chose? What were the things that we delighted in? What did our soul seek after? Here it says, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that is fulfilling the desires of the depraved affections that are living within us, cleaving to our sin, just like Solomon clave unto his idolatrous wives in love. So our hearts, the heart of a man who is dead in sins, is going daily after those things that his heart and his flesh that is lusting after, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Thus he says, dead in sins. What is that? Oh, that is to be the objects of the wrath of God. Because if a man is a child of disobedience, oh parents, when your children are walking in disobedience to you, oh, then he is lying under and subject unto your wrath, your displeasure, your anger. Then you say you are going to be punished. Thus he says, children of wrath, even as others. Oh, dead in sins means worthy of stripes, worthy of being beaten. And so he says, they were by nature. What does that mean? That means they were born that way. No, we were not created that way. But we were born that way. That is now our very nature that we have received from our disobedient father and mother. So that we are born, oh, when a child is coming out of the womb, that he has not a single sin of his own lying on his account. Yet he is born by nature, lying under the wrath of God, even as Adam and Eve, because they brought forth even as the animals after their kind, dead in sins. Death. What is death? Death is not a state out of which a man can raise himself. When you will see a dead body, then you say it is impossible that such a person will come forth, raise himself out of that death. That is a state of helplessness, but it is not only helplessness. No, it is also a state of insensibility. When that dead is laying there, well, then they don't see anything. They don't feel anything. And Solomon, he says, the dead know not anything of all the things that are taking place around them, of all of the earthly things. There is no feeling. There is no desire. Thus, an inability to raise himself, but also no desire, no feeling for it, because there is just nothing. There is no life. They are insensible of everything. And now, Paul, he speaks not about the temporal. He speaks about that spiritual death. What does he say? He says that is now a state of insensibility towards the Lord, alienation from the Lord, so that that spiritual life is a foreign thing to us. Then our life is carnal. It is in this world. It is after the things of this world. There is no desire for anything else because it is to us completely unknown. We are foreigners. We are strangers of God. The spiritual being, because we have no spiritual life. Neither can we raise ourselves up from such a state. Neither will we. Because there is not a single longing. There is not a single desire that is going out of that natural heart to return unto the Lord. We do not pant for Him. Our affections, they do not long for him. Orpah wept Orpah wept just like Ruth. Is that true, children? Or outwardly, the tears, they looked the same. But was it the same inside? What was the love that Orpah had to her mother-in-law? That was a carnal love. That was a love for her as her mother-in-law. That is a good thing. But what is now the love that Ruth had unto her mother-in-law? Oh, you say she loved her as her mother-in-law. She had carnal love too, that is right. But now there was something so much more, was there not? And what was it? It was a life. It was a life that lived in the heart of Ruth that was completely absent in the heart of Orpah. It just was not there. Dead. Dead in sins. Congregation, do you ever feel it? To be so in your own heart? Do you ever feel it? That you are dead? That you have a body and breath and life in this world, but that you are dead in sins. Do you ever feel it? What the apostle says here? Children of disobedience. Did that ever come home to you? That you say, I am nothing but a child of disobedience. God's people, they cannot all tell exactly when that happened in their life. But there are some. But there are some that can point to that moment in their life when they became themselves. It's always we say that person and that person. But it has to be this person, a child of disobedience. Did the Lord ever bring it with power to your soul? And because you are a child of disobedience, that you are also a child of wrath, deserving of stripes, deserving to be beaten, deserving to be punished. The rich young ruler lived a commendable life. Do you know what he did not know? He did not know that he was dead. That he was dead in sins and in trespasses. Thus he went over the world with his religion, with thoughts which were much too high concerning himself. Or we can speak about faith. We can speak about Christ. But when we have never learned in our life that we are dead in sins, we deceive ourselves. Because Christ, he is not precious, except that a man becomes in himself a sinner before God. But you say, how does a man learn that? How does a man learn that? Because we say a man is dead. If he is dead, and if he has no desire for spiritual things, and he is ignorant, you say, how then is it possible that he should then have such thoughts? Is that not a contradiction? That is a good question. We want to see that in our second thought, the cause of this quickening, thus How does a dead man learn anything? You say, no, that is not possible. That is right. He cannot learn anything. First, he must be made alive. And that is now what Paul says here. He says, even when we were dead in sins, thus it is in the past. Thus, he says, it is not anymore. Why? He says, because we were quickened. We were made alive. We were made alive with Christ. You say, how is that possible? What is the cause that a person from dead becomes alive? Can that man make himself alive? No, you say. That is impossible. And that is why Paul tells us the cause. He says, but. No, a man cannot make himself alive, but God. Congregation. Are they not two beautiful words? But God. Did that now ever become your hope and your expectation? But God? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says that a rich man cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And why not? Well, it is impossible that we will throw away all those riches. And then the disciples, they say, well, who then can be saved? And what does the Lord Jesus say? But God. Oh, did our hope in our deadness ever go out unto God? That is what we read here. But God. Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. But God hath quickened us. Thus we have the cause of this quickening. That is stated clearly in the Bible. And the cause is divine. The cause is heavenly. Who caused us to die? Who caused that spiritual death? When we were alive, that is ourselves, disobedience, our first parents, death. That we are the cause, but we are not the cause that a man should be made alive. No, that is the sole act of the Almighty God. It is the sole act of God, the God of his own people. Where's the cause? The cause lies far, far back. The cause lies in eternity, in that eternal predestination. When God has made a choice whom that he will make alive. What does Paul say? For whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Where does it begin? It begins in eternity. It begins in the foreknowledge of God in predestination, where does it end? It ends in eternity, in glorification of those who he has predestinated. And what does it go through? It goes through the time, the calling of God, the regeneration, the Spirit's work in the life of his own people. Beautiful, a divine chain. And now that is a doctrine that we may try our hearts by. We may try the state of our soul by that doctrine. We only need to ask ourselves this. Do we love that doctrine? Or do we hate that doctrine? Why? Because by nature, we hate that doctrine. And if we have never been shown and never been taught by the Spirit of the Lord that we are dead, dead in sins, we will hate that doctrine. Because then we think that we can make our own choice not only, but that we will make that choice for the Lord. That is what we believe. We say the Lord, he might not choose us. But if I have to choose, I will choose him. Oh, that wretched doctrine of free will. That man is not dead in sin. To make man go over this world with an opinion of himself that he lives and that he would make a good choice, that he would choose for God when he is dead. Oh, if we hate that doctrine, then we have never been taught that we are dead in sins and in trespasses. But now when the Lord opens this to a man, and with all his trying, and with all his efforts, then he goes over this world with so many disappointments. And when the Lord, he is stripping that man to teach him who he is, to show unto him the wretchedness of his natural state, that he does not choose for God. Oh, then he has to cry out, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, no, then there is no hope from the side of a man, because then he feels his death. Death to everything that is of God. Not the religion, no. Death to everything that is of God. Then a man is cut off from everything from his own side. And now there is only one hope for that man. And what is that? But God. But God. Oh, if God only would look upon me to make me a different person, to make me a new person. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Even when that people were walking according to the course of this world, even when they were walking according to the prince, the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, as a child, disobedience, with his back unto the Lord, with no affections for him, turned away from him, even when he is laying there polluted in his own blood. No desire, no affection, even when he least deserves it. Even then, quickened, there is congregation hope for the dead. Hope for the dead. Do you understand that, a little young people? Oh, the world, even the religious world, they have something so evil to say about the truth of the Word of God. They say hopeless, hopeless doctrine. It is not true. It is not true. No, if we only are taught once what our true death state is, then this is the only hope for a man who has turned his back unto a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God. Let us sing 304. Stanza 6. From him, his saints' redemption came. His covenant sure, no change can know. Let all revere his holy name in heaven above and earth below. Stanza 6 of 304. Third thought, the elevation of this quickening. What do we read? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hath raised us up together. What does Paul say? Christ has risen from the dead. But he has not risen alone from the dead. No, he has raised us up together. Indeed, we do read about those who were raised from the dead at the time of Christ's resurrection. that there were many of the bodies of the saints that slept, and that they arose from the grave, and they went to the holy city, and they appeared unto many. But that is not what the apostle is speaking about here. No, here he is speaking about the entire church of God that has risen with Christ from the dead. What does he say? He says that the benefits that are flowing out of that active and passive obedience of Christ, they are very real. Young people, maybe you think that that is something that is just sort of imaginary. But it is not imaginary at all. No, those benefits are very, very real. And those benefits are also very, very powerful. What does the Apostle Paul say? Even as Christ, he was raised out of the grave, raised from the dead in a temporal way by his Father. So also that church of God, the elect of God, whom he has foreknown, who were predestined by him, they are also raised out of that spiritual death and have raised us up together out of the state of being dead in sins into a new state. That is a state of life, not in sins, but a life in holiness. Thus, the resurrection, that is a raising up out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And that death is what again, children? It is a death in sin, right? Dead in sins. What does that mean? If it is dead in sins, then deliverance from that death is a deliverance from sin. Is that not something? To be delivered from sin? Or you say, maybe I do not want to be delivered from sin. No, we do not want to be delivered from sin because we love sin. We love sin. But this is a deliverance from sin. What does that mean? It is a deliverance from the guilt of sin. Do you feel that guilt? Into a perfect acquittal. Every one of those sins completely cast behind the back of the Lord. So that it is as if a man has never sinned in his life. That is done by the judge. He takes that all away. And when we have not transgressed, are you afraid to stand before the judge? What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? When these things come to pass, he said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Then they need not to be afraid, no, because they have received a right unto eternal life. Oh, to have our sins taken away, the guilt of sin. Thus to be regenerated, that is to be forgiven, that is to be justified, but that is not all. To be regenerated, that is also to be delivered from sin, that is from the commission of sin. Do we wish to be delivered from the commission of sin? Oh, then there are many things that in our life perhaps they would not happen anymore. Oh, perhaps this day we love that sin. But if the Lord regenerates us, then we will begin to hate that sin. That is a great difference, is it not? Do not have to be afraid, young people, that you say, I do not want that life. No, because if the Lord, He will regenerate you, you will not desire that sin anymore. No, then it will not be a burden to you anymore to leave that all behind. But then you will desire that life of sanctification, and you will desire that you may be clothed with that robe of the righteousness of Christ, a blessed white robe. Oh, what does He say of His bride? He says, I see no spot in thee. Oh, she is perfectly white in His eyes. Of themselves, they have so much to complain in themselves. Oh, then they do not find that holiness they desire. Oh, they find so much of that worldly spirit, that carnal spirit. David, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me. Ah, quicken. Make me alive unto holiness. And yet, sometimes, then she may see how that the Lord is looking upon His church. We read it in the Bible. What did the bride say? She said, I am black. That is what she saw in herself. But she says, I am comely. Oh, that is the way He spoke to her. And we have heard some of that language out of Ephesians 2 also. Oh, how beautiful does the Lord see His church, who are so innocent and who are so white, all in His blessed and His only begotten Son. Oh, then, the Lord is, as Paul says, making them to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, children, boys and girls, do you ever look in the sky? You look up in the sky. That is a beautiful creation of the Lord. The Bible says there are three heavens. And if you see the clouds and the rain that is not so far away, then that is the first heavens that you can see. And when there are no clouds, then you can see a little further in the night, and you look at the stars and the planets, or then you can see what the Bible calls the second heavens. Wonderful creation of God. You ever see the pictures from those telescopes that can see far, far into the distance, and the galaxies and the many multitudes of stars that Abraham could not number? Now look a little further. Say, I cannot see further. There is a third heaven. It is beyond the second heaven. Telescopes, they can never see there. So how can I see it? No, we cannot see it. But we can read about it. Because there was a time that the Lord opened that heaven. The Apostle John, the Lord brought him away in the Spirit to a high mountain. And then the Lord opened it. And He showed unto him what was in the third heavens. Do you want to read that? Then you read in the book of Revelations. And then you can read all about it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Heaven is a place. It is not just for spirits. The Lord Jesus is there in His body. And Enoch is there. And Elijah is there. It is a place, a physical place. So is hell. We do not know where that is. No, we cannot see it. One day will we see it? Heaven or hell? Do you know what Paul says here? Listen. And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can read that in the book of Revelation. But the apostle says even more. You may know and you may experience what this is already in your life. Then he speaks about regeneration. And then he says that already, because he speaks here in the past tense, that already the Lord is given that regenerated people to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. That means that he gives them already upon the earth places where they may experience what it is to be in heaven. Just a little bit. The church that has many tribulations in this world, physical, spiritual, and then there are times that the Lord is lifting that people above the dust of this world. From the moment of the new birth, then the treasure of that people is in heaven. That is not experienced the same every day. And yet it is so. Oh, then they are lifted in their aspirations, in their desires, in their longings. And they are lifted far above this world unto and to sit with him in heavenly places, even though they feel so encumbered by a carnal spirit. That is the living complaint that is living in their hearts. That doesn't come often maybe out of their mouth, but so they go over this world. Oh, could my soul be more in heaven? And yet sometimes, in the midst of all the griefs, here below, they are made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This just go to the prison where Paul and Silas were. They were in bonds. They were in stripes. And yet, oh, their soul that is lifted up. They may sit there and they may experience what it is for a moment in the trials and tribulations of this life to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then they may sing. Because men can take away their life, but men cannot take away what is living in their heart. They cannot take away the joy that is living in their soul. There we see Hannah. She has come into the temple. Oh, the life of that woman. What a miserable life, we would say. Elkanah. Another wife. She is barren. She is mocked. She is chastised. There she comes. And there in her sorrow and in her grief, she may lay before the Lord everything. And there the Lord answered her. And there the Lord gave her her request. There the Lord said, I have heard thee. And then her countenance was no more sad. And And then she may experience for a moment what it is to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know what David said? He said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. How did he know that? The Lord thinketh upon me. O congregation, then there is communion. Then there is communication out of heaven unto David. Would that not be a wonder if we may know that? The Lord thinketh upon me. And then for that people, then they are moments that they are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, every ray that is shining out of heaven upon that holy word of God. What does Paul say? By grace ye are saved. Every ray of light that is coming out of the word of God upon this free and sovereign grace is transporting that sorrowing soul into the realms of glory. Oh, by the Spirit of the Lord, they may sit for a moment in those heavenly places when they may behold the blessed suitability of that sacrifice of Christ for such as they are. What did the bride say? She says, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. They are those heavenly places where they receive heavenly communications and where he says unto them, where he assures that people that in due time Christ has died for the ungodly. Oh, then they can see sometimes by the Spirit of the Lord the foundation. The foundations of the salvation of that church of God. How sure that they are. You know what the apostle says of those foundations? Oh, they are made of precious stones. And that is now what we read here. Because Paul, he says, his great love, wherewith he loved us. Then they may see the foundation. And that foundation, when they may sit there for a moment in those heavenly places, then they are above everything that is so changeable here below. And what is passing away here below. And then they can see that the foundation of God that is standing sure. And so their hope that is there with him, in those heavenly places, which hope, Paul says, is as the anchor of the soul, and that it is entering into that which is within the veil. And he says it is both sure and steadfast. O congregation, we are dead. We are by nature dead. Trespasses and in sins. Do we ever feel it? Did we ever become a sinner before God? There is life. There is life that is preached to us out of that holy word of God. What does Paul say? By a God who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Not just to disobedient children, but to children of disobedience. Did we ever become a child of disobedience? Do not say, young people, God must do it. That is so true. If you live that way and you die that way, it will all testify against you. also this, in the bottom of hell. But God, because then we have rejected it, then we have stood above it, because we did not want to see ourselves as a child of disobedience. Oh, consider what sin is. Consider what it is to be dead in sins. Consider what life is, and what a life of holiness might be. May our soul be drawn to those heavenly places that are already to be experienced here below in their blessedness, and are soon to be enjoyed by that same people in all their glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou instruct us, for we are foolish? Wilt thou make us alive, for we are dead? O convert us, and with that true regeneration, then we shall begin to move and live and breathe hunger, thirst, and desire and love, mourn and sorrow and rejoice. Then there will be joy also in heaven where thou art, and when the angels there shall rejoice over one sinner that weeps. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away our many sins. Care for us in this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, and we may acknowledge thee for thy help. O bless thy word, which we cannot do. Forgive all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 290, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The Lord will bless and prosper those. Yea, blessed indeed are they whose ways are just, who constantly his righteous law obey. And what follows 3, 4, and 5 of 290. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.